Good morning. There seems to be some confusion about the starting time, and I apologize for that. I see that we've had at least three times posted. One sign said 10:30. I think today's daily announcement said 10:45. And I saw another poster which said 11 o'clock over at the Student and Mission Board in Loeber. So I guess I'll choose to start on a fourth time. And we'll try to make do as we can. I'm happy to be able to be here this morning to talk with you about my experiences in Korea and to try to give you a few impressions about Korea. I also would like to touch upon the work of the Christian Church in Korea and how that might relate to our ministries. This will be geared somewhat for encouragement to the first and second year students to consider being involved in the cross-cultural program that our seminary offers with the seminary in Seoul, but I certainly in no way want to leave out those of you who are in your fourth years or will not be participating in that experience, and I hope to show you in any event some of the ways in which cross-cultural awareness will definitely benefit us in our ministries. I hope it will not be too distracting to have people coming in as they may at 10:45 or later, but if so, please bear with me. I would also like to thank the Students in Mission for sponsoring this event and allowing me to come here this morning and share with you the experiences that I had and that I very much enjoyed and feel I've benefited from. We arrived in Seoul, Korea, March 2nd, and in many ways, Seoul is a very modern, westernized city, and in other ways it's an old city, but in any event it's a very big, crowded city. I believe there are currently something on the order of 17 million people living in Seoul and in the Seoul area, and it seems like every one of them is out there during rush hour. This is a seminary which is actually not in Seoul proper. It's in a suburb, Shingal. The seminary is in the background. You can see the main building, and off in the distance, again, is the dormitory. The two fellows in this picture are the two exchange students that many of you probably know. Jeff Wirtz is on the far side. He is currently serving his vicarage in San Antonio. And Brad Heinz is near me serving his vicarage in Garfield, New Jersey, which he says is the heart and of which New York City is the suburb. And I'm sure they're both very much enjoying their vicarages. I spoke with them both, and they both seem to be very excited about where they are. The rooms, when we first arrived, were not quite as conditioned as we were used to. This was a bit of a joke. We really didn't need to dress up quite this heavily. But we did find that you wouldn't just walk around in short pants and bare feet in the middle of the winter. It was still fairly cool when we got there. We had a little bit of snow. We were given some things to eat to kind of help us acclimatized to the new diet there, and among things we were given, we had milk, or uyu, which we put outside the window, and that it kept it plenty cold there. And inside the dorm, we would have heating about 2 hours a day. And that was actually quite sufficient, but it did take us a little bit of time to get used to it. I would like to introduce to you some of the main characters that we interfaced with. Of course, you know Dr. G, and I've already introduced Jeff and Brad. The other two, the gentleman sitting at the end of the table, is Dr. Doro, Maynard Doro. He is the president of the seminary, and it's Luther Seminary, Luto Shin Hakyo. And this is his wife sitting near us, Shirley Doro. They were certainly very gracious hosts to us while we were there. And if it is of any interest to you, you might notice the sign with the Chinese character set. I understand that represents the words justification by faith, but I certainly couldn't verify that myself. We took two courses while we were at the seminary. One was taught by Dr. G in contemporary Christian issues, and the other taught by Dr. Doro, missiology in the Book of Acts. And both of those worked very well, not only to our general education, but also to our understanding of some of the things that were going on in the mission field. We took a third course at Yonsei University, which is the second largest university in Seoul. The course was titled East Asian Thought Forms. Very interesting course taught by a professor, Dr. Shim Jae Ryung, and it basically focused on, well, the Eastern philosophies and religions such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Shamanism, which is the indigenous local religion in Korea, spiritual-based religion. Also Taoism, which many of you may have been familiar with through our friend David Carradine on Kung Fu, and Confucianism. And this is also on the campus of the college, Yonsei University. We were very struck by the beauty of the cherry blossoms while we were there. While we were staying at the missionary compound one day, we heard some noises out back and went to see what was happening in our neighborhood. And this is, I understand, a shaman ritual. I was guessing, and I'm not sure what was going on. Dr. G, do you perhaps know what they may have been doing as they were celebrating near someone's home? I don't know if someone was moving into a home and they were exercising the spirits, if you will, or if they were blessing the house, or what was going on. It was, in any event, a shaman ritual, and they have, it's very colorful. You might notice that most of the people involved here are girls or women, females in any event. That is not exclusively a female position to be involved in this. The males are also involved, but I understand that females predominate, especially as the shaman, as they call them, the shaman of the spiritual interfaces, the interfaces between our world and the spiritual world, and the concept being the shaman divine what the spirits wish for people, and they will then, through these rituals, let us know what we need to do in order to improve our lot in life and in order to make our lives easier by pleasing those spirits, which reside everywhere. They have roof beam spirits, even outhouse spirits, spirits almost everywhere. The largest religion, I understand, that still dominates Korea and much of the Orient is Buddhism, even though it's quickly being challenged by Christianity in terms of numbers. I believe it's still something like one-third of the population, at least, openly professes Buddhism. We had the opportunity to visit several Buddhist temples and sites and see some of the worship services in action. We visited Sangnisan on part of what they call a membership training activity. All the classes have membership training activities where everyone in the class will go somewhere, and it's basically to get to know each other a little better. In this particular case, the MDiv class from Luther Seminary, all the students studying to be pastors in the Korean Lutheran Church, went on this membership training, this MT. And this is almost the entire class that's currently studying to become members in the Lutheran Church of Korea. I believe we have 2, 4, 6, 8 of the Korean students here. I think there are 10 or 11 actually in total currently studying for the ministry. And you might notice many of them are also what we might call second career. This is a little bit unusual in most places, but Korea is one of the places like America that you have that option readily available to have second career changes. We spoke with a Buddhist monk. He spoke only Korean. I didn't understand much of what he was saying. Fortunately, we had the MDiv students there with us to help us understand what was going on. Very interesting fellow. They said he was what they might call a liberation Buddhist. And in his presentation, I think he was trying to get on the good side of the Lutherans, not realizing what our perspective is of Christ. I believe he thought that because we use the name Luther, we follow Luther primarily. And that's actually a bit of a problem in the Korean culture, the fact that we use the name Luther, and to them that indicates that we must be following primarily Luther. And that's something that needs to be explained, and much of the activity that goes on in mission work is actually, unfortunately, sometimes taken up by an explanation of our name and what it means. At any rate, what he said at one point in time, as I was told, was that, yes, Jesus Christ was a very important man, but Luther was actually a better man. He was above Christ. And his gospel to us, however, was that he was better yet and would probably become a deity upon his death. This is within the confines of that Buddhist temple region. They were playing the drums, and I apologize that I cannot tell you the significance of that. I believe that may have been perhaps a dinner call. It was right about dinner time. I'm not sure. On Buddha's birthday, the celebration, I believe, occurred on May 2nd. I understand it changes from year to year, but they have a parade of lights where they will walk through the streets and sing songs. You might notice on these bulbs this symbol that looks like a swastika that actually predates the Germany of the middle of this century. It goes well back hundreds of years, and that is the marker of the Buddhist temples, and I guess of the Buddhist, of things that are associated with the Buddhist religion. We visited several of the temples. This particular one struck me as being particularly beautiful. Very colorful in all their ornamentations of the ceiling, especially, I noticed. In addition to Buddhism, the Confucianism doesn't seem to be as apparently obvious in terms of temples or in terms of sites, but it still very much is a part of the day-to-day activity in terms of relationships with one another. It's not so much dealing with the issue of relationships with a higher being or with the spirits or this, but it's more how do I understand my relationship with those around me. And so there's a very heavy stratification in the society in general, where there are some, I guess, good sides of this that we sometimes tend to neglect,
One of those is that it very heavily puts a premium on age and the old people for their wisdom and their value, whereas it seems like in our society, unfortunately, we tend to act as though older people diminish in value at some point, and that becomes quite a crisis for many people as they approach old age. Here, in contrast, old age is very highly respected. The Catholics are present. This is a Catholic church, Myeongdong Catholic Cathedral. I understand, I should have checked my figures before I came up here, but I think there are something on the order of 2 or 3 million Catholics in Korea. Interestingly enough, the Catholics are not regarded by most of the Protestants as Christians, I have been told, at least among the laity. This picture isn't bright enough to see, it looks like, but I was struck by the fact that all the ladies here were wearing these head coverings. And of course, we had that in our history, both in the Catholic Church and I believe to some degree in the Lutheran Church. But in my lifetime, I have not experienced too much of that, and I was quite moved by it. This is Yeongnak Presbyterian Church. The sermon that was preached here was actually, I think, I enjoyed hearing it. It certainly contained the gospel message. The way I was able to hear any of it at all was by virtue of these headphones. You might see these two gentlemen who are missionaries in Japan. They are visiting Korea at this time. But they had these headsets available for the foreigners to translate the sermon into English. They were able to do that because the congregation is actually a relatively sizable congregation. I understand there's something on the order of 35,000 members, and at this particular service, the place was definitely filled. In fact, it was filled a half an hour before the service began, and I think it seats around 7,000 people. However, the largest church in the world is Yoedo Full Gospel, and this is Yoedo Full Gospel Church, or at least the building with the members attending on Pentecost. The church has something on the order of 500,000 members. So I guess when we have church growth, they have something on us in terms of that movement. I found it interesting that Reverend Merkins from Concordia St. Paul, Concordia San Antonio, went to Korea to give a church growth workshop, and I thought that was interesting in view of the massive church growth that they have in the churches there already. Somewhat disappointed, I would say, that as I heard this sermon, they also translate the sermon into 7 different languages. They have a box which you can select, and you can select between German, Japanese, Chinese, English, French. And at least the translated version I have, I'd have to say it was more like Yoedo No Gospel in this case, was very much oriented toward if we please God, then God will bless us in our daily lives, He will enrich us, we will become economically strong, and we will reunite with North Korea, which is a very big theme for them. But little or no emphasis on our bearing our crosses for Christ, whereby we are marked as His children and the promises in Christ. You can see I'm not sure how well that's focused, but it's a very large sanctuary, and it seems to be filled, as I understand, several times each Sunday. In somewhat stark contrast, here's a new Lutheran church. this isn't entirely fair. This is not every Lutheran church is not like this, but this is one which is being started at near Daegu. One of the larger cities in Korea. This was a friend I came to know while I worked at Jungang Central Lutheran Church. And I worshiped with he and his wife, his aunt, his 2 cousins, and myself. We made up the congregation on that particular Sunday, but we certainly heard the gospel here, and I pray that God's word will go forth through his efforts. While we were there, we were invited to and given the opportunity to, I guess, be involved in what you might call field work or the counterpart of our field work. I was placed, probably not the correct word, I worked or was associated with Jungang Lutheran Church. And in that capacity, I was able to help with the liturgy. I was given the opportunity to preach once through an interpreter, needless to say, and give talks to various organizations. One of those organizations is the youth group. You might notice that this youth group is maybe a little bit older than what we normally would call the youth group. I think they're typically the youth group and their terminology would be people who would be in their late teens, early 20s, and it seems in my experience usually our youth groups are teenage. They also have church picnics. This is a spring picnic. Everyone is involved, from the very old to the very young. I'd like to also introduce, so to speak, President Ji, Ji Chung-wei Chan-im. He is the president of the Korean Lutheran Church, and if there's any, it's hard to see him here, but if you see a resemblance to our own Dr. Ji, there is one. They are brothers. Elder Lee of Jungang, at their library, where they have very much literature-oriented ministry. One just quick thing to mention about the elders, they have a slightly different approach to the elders in that church. Rather than electing elders for a 1 or 2 year term, as we tend to do in our congregations, they have elders take a doctrinal test and show conformity to the rules set forth in the pastoral epistles, and then they become elders for life. So they are very much more seen as spiritual assistants to the pastor, if you will. Once or twice every year, the pastor will go into the homes of all his members and visit with them. I believe it's called a shimbang. And he will eat with them and discuss with them the work of the church. In this particular case, Jeff Wirtz was going along, and I thought it was kind of a funny little story. He said that his stomach was upset just the day before, and as he went into the first house, they served him all this food, and he felt somewhat obligated to try to eat at least a little of it. But he realized that he was going to go into 4 or 5 more houses that day. And as he was going to the next house with Pastor Park of Oxidon, he said, "Pastor, I can't eat anymore. My stomach's really not feeling very well." And Pastor Park said, "That's okay, that's okay. You don't have to eat very much at the next place." And so they got to the next place, and Pastor Park, as he tried not to eat, Pastor Park said, "Oh, eat a little more, eat a little more." And he said, between the second and third house, you know, Pastor, I just don't think I can eat too much more." "You don't have to eat much more, don't worry. The next house, eat a little more, eat a little more." He said by the time it was finished, he was really having a difficult time. This is a picture of a gathering after the service at the International Lutheran Church. It's an English-speaking Lutheran congregation, which is there primarily for English-speaking people, for expatriates, for people who are working in business or the military or whatever. And we certainly enjoyed being able to worship with this church. It was also an important part of our time there. And it certainly gave me a feeling for what was going on when Luther said we have to have this service and our preaching in the tongue that people can understand. because while I enjoyed visiting with the Korean churches, not being able to understand what was going on in the gospel message and much of the service drove home the importance for us to be able to understand this. We had time to travel. This is just a gentleman that I ran into on a bus. He was very, very friendly. He didn't speak a word of English, and I virtually spoke no Korean, but we got along just fine anyway. He wanted to use my camera to take pictures, and they have a habit of turning the camera sideways when they take pictures, which is fine for prints. It's a little bit more creative, but I can't show you the slides because all the slides then are cocked at an angle. This is the traditional wedding garb, and a very pretty young girl whom I did not get married to while I was there, nor did I get married to this woman, even though now I am in the groom's garb. In this particular case, she called me over and asked me to pose with her. I thought she wanted a picture. Without thinking, I handed my camera to another lady who was standing there because I didn't want to have my camera in my hand as this picture was taken. And she began taking pictures after picture. So I found that what you don't want to do is don't hand your camera to someone with whom you can't instruct not to use it until the film is gone. She used the rest of my film. But on a different note, children are children. They're cute everywhere around the world. And I guess they're little devils everywhere around the world, too. The subway system is quite impressive. It's impressive in more ways than one. One being that it's quite easy to get around Seoul, even if you don't speak any Korean. The map system is very, very well developed. Better than any place I've seen in America. I think if you didn't speak English and tried to get around on our subways, it would be a disaster. In fact, if you do speak English and try to get around on our subways, it can be a disaster. On the other hand, it's very crowded, and they have what they call people pushers. They're now starting to use, I understand. At the peak hours of rush hour, sometimes things get so crowded that you need to be shoved on in order to make room onto the buses and onto the subways. So that was quite a touching experience. This little girl's chasing is that a dove? I'm not very good with birds, I'm sorry. A fowl anyway. And it was really kind of funny to watch her because she knew she was going to catch this bird, and that bird just stayed a little bit ahead of her. It wouldn't fly away. It would just keep ahead, so she couldn't quite get it. A halmoni, grandmother. And they use that term as we used to. If there is an older lady whom you don't know, to show respect, you call her grandmother. Plowing the fields, using, I was told, a reindeer. A reindeer? That's not a reindeer. Water buffalo. How's that? I don't know where I got reindeer from. It'd be kind of hard to do it with a reindeer. I guess I was thinking maybe about the red nose. There's a coat hanger through this. Look at this water buffalo's nose is how they pull the thing along. And I guess that must have been how I got the middle connection to a reindeer. They have slums, as we do. And they also have some very attractive places. One thing that may not strike you if you haven't been overseas is toilets are not toilets, they're toilets all around the world. There's different styles and types. And as a matter of fact, this I also saw in Rome, so it's not exclusively Eastern. But their toilets are a little different and they take a little getting used to. We had, for the most part, in the seminary and the places we stayed, there was usually Western-style toilets, so if that's of any comfort. This is the missionary housing where we stayed. The little tower in back, Namsan Tower, South Mountain Tower, is where I took the first picture from that you saw of Seoul. But the quarters or living quarters that we were given were quite comfortable. Students like to demonstrate, and they do demonstrate. There is some anti-Western sentiment. We felt no anti-Western sentiment against us personally, but against the government collectively there is some. However, again, when we were there, we had no one hassle us or harass us in any way, and we felt quite safe. Molotov cocktails, if you've never seen them. The demonstrations can get quite, I understand, can get quite violent, but this is, in large part, a push for the intense feelings for wanting reunification, I believe, is in large part behind the demonstrations. We also went into Panmunjom, which we know as the DMZ, 38th parallel. It's called the Demilitarized Zone, and I'm not sure why, because it's probably one of the most militarized places in the world. But we were given some instructions and then had a tour of that, which was very interesting, and if you do get to go to Korea at any time, that's worth taking in. Namdaemun, South Gate. And a historic structure, but it also marks Southgate Market. And the markets there are extraordinary. They have a very wide range from what you might call old-style markets to new-style markets. They can be very crowded, but you see just a mind-boggling amount of things, blocks and blocks and blocks of, for example, blankets and pillows, and then you have blocks and blocks and blocks of wedding dresses and blocks of you know, seafood things. The volume was just staggering. And while many of the markets are what we might call old style, they also have modern markets and some very attractively displayed items in the supermarket. And pigs. We saw these on several occasions. I believe, I understand they're at least used for shaman festivals to please the spirits. And while I didn't read this, I was told by one of the students they're also used in Confucian festivals. I don't know how commonly they are, the pig head, used for regular cooking. But as far as I know, I didn't eat any. Maybe I did. I ate a lot of things I didn't know. didn't know what they were. But most of the things I can say, whether I knew what they were or not, certainly were tasty and enjoyable. This is again the MDiv group, and we were having breakfast on the MT. Every item on that, there's two tables here, and I understand that each table is identical, but every item on this first table, I was told, is different. And what you will do is the silver bowls are pop, they're rice, and so you have your rice base, and we also had soup, and then we would share, you would take your chopsticks and pick from whatever bowl you wanted to eat from, and they were communally shared. It was good food, very good food. This was a fish we had for breakfast, first time I've had roasted fish for breakfast. But it reminded me a little bit, frankly, of, and I'm not trying to draw too close of parallels here, but it reminded me of the what John 21 account where Jesus cooked breakfast, he had fishes for his disciples, and fish was made a very good breakfast. We also have in here some sesame leaves, I think some mushrooms, some minnows. Kimchi is a very important part, which I will not explain beyond saying it is. Kimchi is a process of preparing food whereby you'll use usually a vegetable base, and it will ferment, be fermented in vinegar. And at first, it's a little bit hard to get used to, but once you eat it a few times, you become addicted, I believe.
And red pepper paste.
And red pepper paste. I think all the students who have gone over have since wanted to eat at least kimchi, if nothing else, once returning. And I know Brad said he keeps some in his refrigerator up in Garfield, And I, on several occasions, have intended to stop by the Korean market here and get myself some kimchi. One last thing on food. We use the word seaweed when describing many of their foods, but I think that's an unfair term. I think to put it in correct terms, we eat many things that might be identified with as weeds on the land, and yet we give them different names. We probably should call it ocean vegetables. That doesn't sound quite as negative, because they are quite good and healthy. This is a typical meal for what you will eat at the seminary. The seminary food is very inexpensive. I believe we ate there for 700 won, which is something on the order of $1.15 a meal. And you can have all you want for that amount. And so you won't get the most elaborate meals, but you'll get healthy food and plenty of it. And plenty of it. The same thing. I could have taken a slide. I could have taken and duplicated the slide three times and said breakfast, lunch, dinner, pretty much. Because you eat the same thing over and over, and it doesn't really get too old. I'm not sure why. Perhaps because of the type of food. But you will find you're eating the same thing for meal after meal. And the only meal that I had a problem with that on was breakfast. Sometimes getting up in the morning after a cold shower to go and have a spiced meal, sometimes my stomach wasn't quite ready for it. A shot of some of the rice fields as we were going to visit a temple. At this particular temple, there was a very beautiful statue and famous statue of Buddha, but because they were worshiping, we were not allowed to take pictures, which I could appreciate because we have the same... We would not want people taking pictures during our communion services or during our worship services. We also had the opportunity to travel around the land. This particular picture was taken near Busan, between Busan and Gyeongju, I believe. Gyeongju is the old capital, but the land is very beautiful. There's a lot of mountains, but it's very beautiful land. This is on the... I think it's the western side, is that correct? It's on the side facing Japan. I get confused.
That's
Eastern?
Yeah.
Get confused in my geography. Yeah, it's eastern side for them. And it'd be facing the Pacific. We also had the opportunity to backpack up Chirisan. Had a wonderful time with two of our friends, Kim Hyo-jung and now his name escapes my mind. Ryubo-san. And we went and bought lots of food so we wouldn't have to worry about food as we climbed up there. I think we each put about 50 pounds of food in our backpack, got up to the top, had a meal or two, and carried about 48 pounds back down. So we got good exercise. That must have been what he had in mind. I found the Koreans have an relatively high amount of energy. We were just dying trying to climb up this mountain, sweating, my glasses were fogging over, and the Koreans would be walking up there singing songs and acting like they do this every day. Again, you can see some of the beauty of the natural regions. That's in the center part of the country. I have some slides that are giving me a problem, apparently. Okay, this is actually, that's good, that's the end of the Korean. I just wanted to touch on this for those of you who may have the opportunity to go over there. We had the opportunity to stop in Japan on the way back for 4 days, and I'd encourage you, if you have that chance, to take it. It cost us only $50 in airfare, and I think we stayed in Japan for 4 days. Because we were staying with friends, our costs were very low, probably around $200. They liked to party. At least the people we were with did. And a very cute little Japanese girl, and an old man who was at a Shinto shrine enjoying his lunch under the trees. We also stopped in Hawaii. And again, I would encourage you, if you have a chance to partake in that, to make a stopover if you can. This cost us all of $17 for airfare. because we had already paid the trip to Seoul. And I think, again, we spent probably less than $200 during that 4 days and thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know how that picture got in there. And that's the end of the presentation. I was hoping to leave a little time here, and I see we do have some for any question and answers about the Christian church or the Lutheran church or any other things like this that might be of interest or of interest to you. Yes?
You took all your classes in English at the two schools?
You could say that. Certainly the two at the seminary were. The professor at Yonsei University liked to speak in Chinese quite a bit. We certainly followed what was going on, but yes, the answer to your question in all seriousness is yes, those classes were in English, fortunately for us. So you don't have to know Korean in order to participate in that program and benefit from it.
Also, how many teachers are there at the Lutheran Seminary there? You mentioned the president taught in class.
Well, they have quite a few professors that are, I guess, what we might call part-time professors. They will serve as ministers in the churches and as professors. Of the ones I am aware, I would say 1, 2, 3, 4, probably 5 or 6 people are teaching there as professors. Is that correct? Six.
Bill, why don't you mention, we only saw like 8 or 10 in the undid program. Explain how that big building going with all the students.
Yes, thank you for asking that. The seminary, we tend to call it a Luther Seminary, and indeed it is a seminary, but it's not only a seminary, it also has an undergraduate college-level program. And the majority of students at the seminary are actually college students, undergraduate students. And I believe there are, again, a ballpark figure, I would say somewhere in the low 100, 120, something on this line. And we had a very good time visiting with them and sharing with them. I was struck with how many people in Korea speak at least some English. If you are anywhere in Seoul almost, you will be able to find people who can communicate on a rudimentary level with you. And we were able to talk with the students at least socially cordial. We were not able to get into, you know, theological discussions by and large because their English didn't allow that, and our Korean certainly wouldn't have allowed it.
Who is eligible for the program? Is it only single students who are able to go? Have they had married students in the past, or just the husbands went?
My understanding is only single students have gone. As to if only single students can go, I do not know the answer to that. Dr. G?
There's no rule against married people, but the point is we cannot accommodate a man or a wife. I mean, that's the reason. So if one can go alone with a good agreement with his wife, definitely he can be included. I'd like to say in connection with this, I think the church there, as well as our seminary, have been trying, within the limitation of the means, trying to be accommodated as much as we could, you know. For instance, the room, you will have a single room, whereas other Korean students, they stay together, one, two by two. And then even we made a special bed, you know, 1 foot long, longer than the other. I remember when we designed about 7 years ago, I definitely mentioned that. That's my contribution, you know, basically. Even though it's not as wide as maybe you like to expect, you know. So so far we have had 15, 12 from our seminary and 3 from Fort Wayne. And so far we have not had any really serious problems. And that's really, by the grace of God, we have a good time. And then also the other thing is, you can contribute so much to the Korean community our congregations, as he mentioned, directly responsible. And then the other thing is about students, you know, creating the international or global atmosphere. And then you will have, by the way, you will be asked, I mean, if you go there, teach the 1 or 2 hours a week English language, you know, through which you can, you know, be friendly with the Korean students. So there are many different kinds. The MT membership training program, you call, and other kinds of social education part also plays a very important role. In addition to the 9 credits which you will earn, and which will be recognized by our seminary or elsewhere in this country.
I would like to make a few comments about the benefits of cross-cultural awareness, and also then some comments about Christianity in the Lutheran Church there. To begin with, I think oftentimes this program has been seen as primarily oriented toward people who want to go into mission work, using the term mission meaning overseas mission work or something like that. Indeed, we're all involved in mission work wherever we are, but we gained a lot by our general opportunity to be sensitized to cross-cultural issues. And I think that would be a benefit for virtually everyone in whatever ministry they are called. We probably will come in contact with other people from other cultures, certainly with people from other mindsets, and such a sensitivity will help keep the doors open and bridge certain gaps for that type of situation. But also, we had the opportunity to become somewhat exposed to East Asian thought, and there certainly are a lot of influences that East Asian thought is beginning to have upon the West. Just 2 areas that come to my mind. One is modern physics, and much of our sciences are becoming flavored by East Asian mysticism, and also the New Age movement, which is becoming bigger and bigger in America. So even for those of us who may anticipate being called into a parish here in the States, the cross-cultural awareness will be of benefit to you. Shifting the subject to Christianity and the Lutheran presence, the Christian church, I understand, is almost the same in terms of numbers of people identified as Buddhism in terms of popularity. I think it's about 1/3 of the Korean population identifies themselves with Christianity. As with America, so also in Korea, there's a very prominent presence of what we might call a theology of glory. At least that was my impressions. Much of the attraction is how can we improve our here and now, our economic situation, our lives on this earth. And certainly the Christian message speaks to that. But it may be that they, in many churches, have not had a full appreciation for the purity of the gospel message. And I think in many cases there is somewhat of a mindset that we have worshipped perhaps Buddha, for example, for many years, and things have not become all roses, so perhaps we're looking in the wrong direction. Maybe if we worship this God, things will all become bright and we'll be in the garden, so to speak. But again, we have a lot of that in our churches here in the States as well. With respect to the Lutheran Church, it's a relatively small presence at this point in time in terms of numbers. I believe there are, and I'm sure I'll get the number wrong, there's somewhere between 10 and 20 churches. That's a safe way to go. That's 100% guard band. There are somewhere between 10 and 20 churches, I believe somewhere on the order of 2,000 members of the Lutheran Church of Korea. And even though the numbers are relatively small, the Lutheran Church in general has had a broader impact insofar as the ministry has historically been very much geared toward a media ministry through the likes of the Lutheran Hour and television programs. And from that, I believe the thrust is to try to influence Christianity as much as possible to bring the gospel to the Korean people, and then on the side to work to grow the Lutheran Church. Yes?
If I may add, you know, actually we have currently, 52 Unitarian congregations, and about the same number of pastors, that ordained pastors, and actually we have MD candidates, and then we have a large number of undergraduates, so it's moving up, let's say, or growing, I should say. So in the future, we have a high aspiration and ambition plans and something like that, what we call 10-year plan or something like that before the end of the century. And like, so you will hear more about it. Now, if I may say this, if there are some of you who are interested to go to Korea, I hope I'd like to encourage you to consider. And I think deadline is something like for the end of this month or something like that. And our seminary has a modest amount for some scholarship made available. And I know it will be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. If I were you, I'm not saying this because I hear your friend about the instructor, but over there I would be your host, one of the hosts. So I really like to say that. I think there are many, many benefits which Bill mentioned. I think that I'd like to show the score. But then from the Korean church and church in America, Missouri Synod needs this type of cross-cultural and Westkowitzki has been always emphasized, ultimization. Not only talking about international or global or worldwide or something that sort, the new type of mindset, you know, atmosphere and the thinking, the way of thinking has to be changed. How can we do that? Now there, I think it's too bad that we have to limit the number and so forth, but somehow, in my mind, there should be somewhere better and more extensive way where in the future, I still don't know exactly how to programize this thing into concrete things, but I hope that you pray and think about it. And then if you think that's important, tell school administrators, and then we should do this or that, so that America will be, America and the Lutherans in America will be indeed the world leaders, I mean, that is, who can really provide and contribute something. From Korea point of view, I think that we have already made 15, already made so far, 15 future district presidents, or at least a certain conference or something like that, Missouri Synod. Boy, that would be tremendous influence. Maybe in the coming years, be more at it. And the, not the number, but I mean the caliber of people whom we have. It's all of them, I tell you, each individual, the high, very high level. So this is a new movement. By the way, do you know that in Korea, there are many theological seminaries, many. Tens and tens, first days, runs with 25 or 30 seminaries or something. But very few institutions, universities, even universities, run fully accredited, let us say, fully planned exchange program like we have. This is very humble in number. But even Yonsei University, where they had this program, the official said, well, how do you organize? We have that kind of program, but it takes a lot of work and something like, how can you build a tiny school like Luther Seminary School or something like that? And there are very few schools actually have that. So I hope Lutheran Church in Missouri Synod, I've been thinking about church body as a whole, and also Concordia Seminary is going to give some new thinking in this area so that we make world upside down. As the Apostle Paul said, why can we not to do this type of thing? Thank you.
We The cost I found were approximately the same as going here. We received 9 hours of credit, but in addition to the hours that you get in the coursework itself, there are many things that were valuable that we learned. I would say, for example, one of them being, in my case, I learned that our job as ministers, when we go out, is not simply to teach people something, but in order to effectively do that, we need to understand where people are and what their understanding is, and be able to put our message in terms that they can understand and make part of their lives.
I just wanted to mention also that I found the same benefits that you did in going there, and that, as you just mentioned, the cost, the overall cost, was, as I recall, nothing significantly different from if I had stayed here, you know, with the scholarships and so on. Even with the airfare, it didn't cost much more to go there. And that there are, I think, 5 of us on campus these days who have gone on this program. Craig Lutz, Pat Burt, Glenn Lando, myself, and you, if anyone's interested in finding out more about it.
This will have to be our last question, I believe.
Just to add, usually we think of learning more about the people there, the culture there, the whatever that we are brought in by having a greater sensitivity and awareness to what they are like. But the flip side of that, the reverse of that, is the most beneficial. Call it reverse culture shock or reverse sensitivity to one's own warts, one's own ethnocentrism, one's own biases, one's own ignorance, one's own tunnel vision. Any comments on that?
When you returned, what all of a sudden jumped out at you with a new awareness? I haven't mentioned a few things.
Certainly, I can say amen. There, we learn much about ourselves, and I think even as I mentioned that I learned the need for being able to talk to people where they're at was something that I didn't learn about them. It's something I learned about myself, and the needs that I need to be aware of, the things that I need to be aware of. Certainly, any of you who've traveled overseas probably have experienced the mind-expanding element, to put it in somewhat mystical terms. But it does increase your worldview. Yeah, that sounds new age here. I've been I haven't lost the gospel message. At any rate, I think we're out of time. So if any of you would like to talk to me individually, I'd be happy to speak with you. Or as Charlie mentioned, there are several others on campus. But I thank you for coming here and for your time. That I need to be aware of, the things that I need to be aware of. Certainly, any of you who've traveled overseas probably have experienced the mind-expanding element, to put it in somewhat mystical terms. But it does increase your worldview. Yeah, that sounds new age here. I've been I haven't lost the gospel message. At any rate, I think we're out of time. So if any of you would like to talk to me individually, I'd be happy to speak with you. Or as Charlie mentioned, there are several others on campus. But I thank you for coming here and for your time.